Hello, everyone. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is with Joe McAdam, and we discuss Jerry Seinfeld and Jerry Seinfeld's enemy. If you do not know what we are referring to, in the most recent season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Jerry Seinfeld, for the first time in six seasons, talks about his disdain for one specific individual, and he bleeps out that person's name. A quick Google search will reveal that that person is someone that's been on this show before, Bobcat Goldthwait, big fan of Bobcat, and once once Mr. Seinfeld decided to bleep out one individual's name during the Bridget Everett episode, I instantly Googled who does Jerry Seinfeld hate, and it became very clear very early on that it's Bobcat Goldthwait, and that's what this episode is about with Joe McAdam. And if you're going to listen to one episode about little Jay Leno's, I think this is the one.
Do you ever go gambling on horses?
No, but I think I need to start.
So I want to get into it, but here's the deal. The horse track near where I live, they've had 23 dead horses in the last year.
It's too many.
It's way too many.
Far too many.
So I got to get in like fast, basically, before they shut this place down, because there's like a million dead horses down at the Santa Anita tracks. I think it might be more. I mean, like, every month or something, I see like another headline that's just like 25th dead horse at the tracks, and it's just. The number can't go down. They can't bring the horses back. So it just keeps escalating. I don't know what's going on there that's so fucking special, but they're losing all their horses.
Oh, my God.
Well, so I don't know. Yeah, I'll take if you have any horse you want to bet on, let me know fast, because they might be dead.
Well, everything dies, so.
That's not that nuts, yeah.
No. If it's okay with you, I would like to discuss something I never thought I would discuss, which is Jerry Seinfeld's enemy.
Yeah, let's get into Jerry Seinfeld and his enemy list.
So, you and I haven't talked in a while because you were on tour, and I enjoy Butt very much. Butt, is it fair to call you a sketch group? Is that how you want to be referred?
Sure, that's fine.
You make sketches, and it's you and one other person, and so you're a duo. You're the White Stripes of sketch.
Yeah, that's the deal.
I'm so sorry that I used the White. Out of all the two-person bands, what a fucking hack move for me to call you the White Stripes.
Yeah, we couldn't be the Seals and Croft or whatever. I don't know. There's other two-people bands out there.
Unfortunately, you're probably the local H of sketch comedy, which means I love you. And like a lot of other white guys that look like me like you. Not a lot of other people like you.
There you go. I think that's pretty accurate.
It's pretty mean, and I'd like to both apologize and stand by exactly what I just said.
No, yeah, it's accurate, but it's there, yeah.
So the reason why I bring up the sketch comedy stuff and the reason I bring up the tour is because you and your partner were on the road for at least a week, and I saw Instagrams and stuff like that of you guys in hotels and stuff like that. So what I wanted to know is, when you comedians were in cars getting coffee, did you talk shit about anyone?
There's shit talk comes up for sure.
Is it fair to say that shit talking, specifically comics about other comics, is fairly normal?
Yeah.
You've been to many open mics and stand-up shows.
Too many people to like them all.
Exactly. You and one of my favorite sets I've ever seen you do was probably at like 1:30 a.m. at Kohl's, which is a bar in Logan Square, and I think you were visiting from Kansas City and I was visiting from DC, and you just happened to be at the mic, and it was amazing. And the half hour before that and probably the hour after that, I just remember smoking cigarettes with you and other people, and everyone was just talking shit about other people, and that seemed to be very, very, very normal. Is that fair?
It happens a lot. It's a lot of fun. Okay. Yeah, it's normal and it's great.
Okay, so the reason why I'm trying to lay the groundwork here is because Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Jerry Seinfeld's, I don't know how you judge a hit on Netflix, but whatever, his talkie show where he talks to other rich people and not so rich people, finally, finally, six seasons in, he talks shit about one person. And it took a very long time to do that. And it was it's in the Bridget Everett episode. And I'm just befuddled to why this exists. And I'm also befuddled to Seinfeld's popularity, but I really don't care about that. Like, that's sort of a hack. That's almost me saying that you're the White Stripes of sketch comedy. And that's not a new idea.
Yeah, who cares? People make it, whatever.
So what I want to know is, why did Seinfeld, after however many years he was holding this grudge, seemingly 20 plus years, decide to get it out in the tail end of season 6 of a show on Netflix? And Netflix teased it out in a tweet, but like kind of buried it, and they bleeped the comic's name.
Yeah. But everybody knows who it was.
Here's the clip. Netflix account shared this. The Netflix is a joke account shared this between Jerry Seinfeld and Bridget Everett.
You know, I'm good friends with that's his best
friend. I don't like him. At all.
Oh, no.
At all. In fact, I have a particular feeling about him. I had kind of forgotten about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a little article about him in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that, there was a veiled reference to his dislike of what I did.
Really?
Anyway, it didn't have my name, of course. He used to rail against comedians because they weren't as wild and dangerous as he was. Because he sucked. Okay?
So you say everyone knows who it is. Joe, who is this everyone?
If anybody watched that, they might not know if they had no other context. That's possible. But I've seen articles written that say, Jerry Seinfeld shits on Bobcat Goldthwait.
Okay, so it's Bobcat
Goldthwait.
Like,
they just name it. Yeah, people just name it. And I've seen it named in articles online. Everybody, yeah.
Okay, so it's Bobcat
Goldthwait. If you needed to dig, you could, yeah. Yeah,
I love Bobcat.
Yeah, he's very funny. He's an amazing director. He's an amazing comic.
Have you ever worked with Bobcat?
No, I don't know him. I don't know him personally.
Okay, so it's fair to say we're like, I've interviewed Bobcat, and I had a great, great experience with Bobcat. And Nirvana is my favorite band, and Bobcat toured with them on the In Utero tour and was part of the ad campaign for that. So I fucking love Bobcat. Clearly in Bobcat's camp. But here's the thing I don't understand. Why does Seinfeld hate Bobcat? Do you know why Seinfeld hates Bobcat?
Yes.
Okay, why does he hate Bobcat?
I don't know when this was, but at some point he publicly said something about Jerry dating a teenager.
Which
in the
is
paper
true.
Or an interview. Yeah,
okay,
which
so
is true.
This is from the 2003 Baltimore Sun has this, and that's one of the links about this. And there's also one from another local newspaper, the Spokesman Review from Spokane, Washington, from 1995. And the headline
for
the
Spokesman... Oh, wow. We're like digging deep, yeah.
Well, not really. I mean, Decider has this all linked here. It's not crazy, but...
okay.
I love that the headline is "Weird Bobcat at least digs women his own age" is the headline.
At least that's like whoever wrote that really didn't like him either. At least he dates women his own age. That's the best thing I can say about the guy.
But here's the problem with this: at that time, he did at that time date women his own age, but that soon changed because Bobcat soon after this started dating Nikki Cox, who was then a 19-year-old.
So he was just shooting his mouth off.
He was shooting his mouth off, and then like 2 years later, well, at the point once Nikki Cox was 21, they started dating.
There you go.
So Nikki Cox, you might know her from Unhappily Ever After, Las Vegas, or Nikki. She later married Jay Moore. They just divorced. It doesn't matter. The point is, Bobcat is sort of like Nirvana out here talking shit about everybody, not really caring about who it hurts. Bobcat says, at least I'm not dating a teenager. Now, Jerry Seinfeld did somewhat famously date a teenager.
Yeah, I remember that being in like tabloids in the 90s and stuff.
And Gawker ran this article in 2015. Remember when 39-year-old Jerry Seinfeld dated a 17-year-old?
Yeah, it's not a great look.
Not a great look.
That's kind of gross. That's pretty fucking creepy. It's pretty creepy, Jer. Yeah, not good.
So there's... The giant. So that's one part, and I kind of admit, I understand why Jerry Seinfeld's like fuck Bobcat for blatantly, saying the truth.
Yeah, no, because that doesn't happen a ton. You know, when people, you don't see a ton of people just really calling somebody out for a weird, gross thing publicly. People avoid it at all costs, it feels like, you know?
Now, do you avoid it at all costs?
I don't know if I've been put in a situation like that specifically. I mean, I don't know anybody firsthand that I know of that dates a teen. I don't think. I'm pretty sure I don't. If I did, you know, I might. I'm, because that's the thing. It's like, what level of thing do you call somebody out on? And I think creepy, borderline abusive behavior, like, okay, yeah, that's fine.
Here's,
you know,
the thing about
okay.
it that I always that I've been thinking about, and the reason why I wanted to talk to you specifically about it. This is universal. I think it's always fine to punch up, right?
Yeah, that's pretty common. That's the idea. Yeah.
And Seinfeld was called out by Bobcat in '95, arguably the height of the show Seinfeld.
For sure. Yeah.
I think it's perfectly fine for him to be like, "Hey, that guy, just so you see your number. He's 39 and she's 17." That's not a good look.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that makes total sense. Like, if they're like right now, I think people are openly shitting on Dane Cook for almost exactly the same thing.
I think that's fair.
So there we go. It's for me, that's punching up, even though he's not quite at the peak of his, you know, his popularity, however long ago that was. But it's, you know, he's still quite successful, rich, and he dates a teen. Or he did at some point.
We're going to go back to the other reason why Seinfeld hates Bobcat. But the second reason, the main reason I actually wanted to talk to you about this is because we've talked about this in the past. What is success? Because...
Yeah.
Because I think Bobcat's very successful. And in the Netflix show, the new Netflix show, the one that was recorded, my guess is like late 2018... He kind of refers to Bobcat as a failure.
And well, he is out
Jerry
of his
Seinfeld,
mind.
Hold on really quick. Jerry Seinfeld refers to Bobcat as a failure. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Jerry has no gauge of success. Like, I'm surprised he knows Bridget Everett. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Like, the way he... Because he is a billionaire, right? Like, I think he has $1 billion or something. It's something ludicrous.
Yeah.
If not that, it's very close. And... Once you're there, you're just like, Bobcat has directed like multiple successful movies. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows who he is. He's been on TV for at least 2 decades. Like, he currently has a TV show. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't think anybody at that level, like, thinks about anything in normal person terms anymore.
I think Bobcat has maybe the best life of any comic that I could think of. For somebody that started out as like sort of a late teen, early 20s, like wunderkind, and transitioned into like fucking happy dude that did exactly what he was like driven to do with, and this is the big caveat, a full-time consistent job directing late night television. Because he directed Kimmel for years.
Yeah, he was on Kimmel for ages, and then his movies are great. Mm-hmm. He does really good movies. So like, I think that would be so satisfying. And he also gets to be able to you know, still do stand up. He doesn't look like he used to look in the 80s. So I don't think he gets recognized that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he does get people being like, "Do the fucking voice," mm-hmm. but. It's not like he, you know, looks like Mr. T. I don't know. There's other people from the 80s that had a more identifiable look, I guess. And they still probably look like that. And he just looks like a regular dude now. He does stand up when he wants. He doesn't do the over-the-top voice like he used to do in his act anymore. It's just like, whatever. And he's super chill from all accounts I've heard. And he's very, very funny.
So... This is unfair, and I don't care that it's unfair. I kind of have to ask it because I keep thinking about it over and over again. Do you think Jerry Seinfeld is happy?
I am really curious because this felt like a crack that I've never seen with him before, where it's like, whoa, hey, because it's like, it's not only just him kind of unloading on a comic that he doesn't like. He did it in front of her, in front of the comic's friend on TV.
Yeah, she brought him up as like, oh, Bobcat directed my, because Bobcat is a director, we've discussed this, blah, blah, blah. He directed her pilot, and she's like, isn't Bobcat great? And he's like, no, he's a bad man.
I don't even know if she said, isn't he great? She's just like, I worked with him. Or like, she said, my friend, and then said his name, and then he's like, no, don't even talk about your friend. Like, this is, I hate your friend.
And
like,
here's the weirdest part about this. Why did you include that?
I mean, that's the, I don't know.
Why did you
include
it, bleep it out? He bleeped out the name.
I think the episodes that Jerry does with people that aren't his financial equal or friend are a little flat. And because it's whoever the guest is intimidated and weirded out by it. And I've seen it happen a few times. I don't watch a ton of it, but the ones I do watch are usually with people I'm like, oh, that's like an interesting choice. And then Jerry just can't jive with them.
Now, I agree with you completely. On the opposite ends of that spectrum, one of the worst ones of this season, which I was super excited for, and I completely agree with you, Joe, was the Melissa Villaseñor episode. Not a good episode. She's great. I was really excited to watch that. Not good. The Fred Armisen episode, another SNL alum who clearly is not nearly as rich as Jerry Seinfeld, was great because he essentially made it his own show.
Yeah, he's the type of guy who's been doing it long enough, and he has enough confidence in like his act or whatever, you know, with the kind of stuff that he does, that he'll just like, yeah, I'll do what I want with it. I've not seen it, but I'm imagining he'd be totally good at that.
That was a great episode. Well, I still want to focus on the Bridget Everett episode. I would also like to point out, in this season of Seinfeld, he mentions the Mr. Rogers documentary. And he essentially says, like, I don't really like Mr. Rogers because he makes me feel like a bad person.
It's been fun to share.
Fun to share.
I think it's...
I feel like I'm watching Mr. Rogers.
But
can you do him?
No. And actually, I started the movie last night. I didn't get to see it.
It's a great movie, but it makes you feel like you're a really mean person compared to him. Mr. Rogers makes you feel really bad about yourself. The opposite of what he's trying to do.
Right.
It didn't make me feel good at all. I feel
that
like, whoa.
Same for me, like, whoa, I'm a
yeah, I got some work devil. To do. Yeah, I am not that nice. Jeez, I was not aware of that.
Or something to that effect. But he says it in like a fun, flippant way.
Yeah.
To me, that is not a good, that's not good.
I mean, have you ever heard anybody else say that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's why I wanted to verbalize it, because no, I haven't, but maybe that doesn't mean it's, you know, I don't know. Maybe it is common. Maybe I'm the one that is like, maybe I'm the rare person that's like moved and wants to be a better person because of that.
No. No. You're not the rare person moved by Fred Rogers.
Okay, so I'm not crazy to think that maybe that's a little absurd.
Yeah, that's weird. That is a sign of someone's such a specific kind of egomania, and like, that's bizarre. If you can't just be like, oh, a man devoted his life to making people happy and to making people feel welcome and to making, you know, if they have a bad day, to make them feel just a little bit better and to encourage children. And if you can't like look at that without being a cynical person, it's just like, there's no, I don't know. And I don't know. I could see another comic maybe making that point for a bit that makes sense. Like, I'll tell you this, immediately I started thinking like, I'd laugh if Larry David said that.
I see. Okay.
Like, I would laugh if Larry did that, but I wouldn't if Jerry did it. Because
Hold on.
Contextually, they're different people.
But Larry's playing the role of curmudgeon dick.
Yeah, exactly.
But Seinfeld's not, right?
Well, the thing is I think they're both maybe trying to do the same thing in a way.
So that's the thing. So maybe it is an act. but I don't think we're supposed to. I don't think that the premise of this show is he's an act. Like, I think this premise of the show is like, this is who he really is.
Well, that's the thing, is that because the argument of this is who he really is like, okay, a billionaire who's been famous since he's been in his 20s.
Yeah.
Like, so, okay, he's a horrible person. Of course, that's you know.
That's not fair. Let's think of one billionaire that's been famous since their 20s that isn't horrible.
Okay, let's.
Is Jay-Z supposed to be nice?
I don't know.
There
He's
you go.
A mystery to me. He might
Floyd
be nice.
Floyd Mayweather.
I don't know. Solid guy.
Okay, back to the Bridget Everett episode. What I don't understand is why include it at all. It's his show, and this is something I still can't understand. Why bleep it out and include it? Just either don't bleep it out and include it, or cut it. What is this weird middle ground?
I think the bleep was a legal bleep, and the keeping it in was Jerry being a vindictive guy.
How does he...
I think he wanted it in, and then they were like, we can't say his name.
Ooh,
that's what I imagined it would be.
I 100% disagree.
What? So you think that he wanted to leave the name out because he thought it was like, no one will ever figure it out.
I think it's a mixture of no one will ever figure it out, and also I don't ever want to give this guy any attention because he doesn't deserve it. But I'm going to make this entire episode based around this because he comes up later in the episode. It's not just a one-off weird thing of like weird. No, that's why they cut that. They go to a tarot card reader, you know, like normal fucking people do. And then this comes up again and then they both say it at the same time and it gets bleeped again. So
yeah,
they built the episode around it.
Well, yeah, I don't think there was a ton else to, you know, the episode would have been about otherwise.
That's okay. There's a lot of these episodes that aren't really about anything, and that's kind of the gimmick of the whole thing. Also, the Jamie Foxx episode's great because Jamie Foxx also seems like a maniac, and he keeps leaning over his arm into the other guy's booth, and it's driving me crazy. Anyways, that's an aside.
But Collateral's great, though, isn't it?
Is it the best use of a fox in a Los Angeles movie?
Oh, man, what kind of a question is that?
Think about it.
What else do we have? Doc Hollywood, Michael J. Fox?
Let's say you get to crazy billionaire status and you're driving around with fancy cars. Could you think of anyone that maybe pointed out that, hey, Joe... Well, you never dated a teen when you were a 39-year-old because you're not 39 yet. I don't know how your marriage is going, but hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, you could cross that bridge. But if someone called you out on things you actually did and they were much lower than you financially and much less well-known, would you even, like, mention their name ever?
It clearly stuck with him so hard because he knew it was like... Bobcat has more cred. People like him.
Do you think that he thinks that?
Yes, I absolutely do. I think that he
thinks that Bobcat has more cred than Seinfeld.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to live in that world.
Hipness goes, or like people like him.
You're so wrong.
No way. Everybody thinks about that. Every comic thinks about the status of. Do people like me versus am I successful and in those things? And I have to balance one with the other and which one do I want to go with? And a lot of times you have to choose. And Jerry clearly chose, I want money and I'm going to drive around in my little Jay Leno's all day and talk about coffee.
He chose the not credible way. Do you refer to all cars as little Jay Leno's?
Yeah, I don't, because they're actually, there is a little Jay Leno, isn't there? There is like a
there is big, one?
Yeah, there's a guy that we used to play little Jay Leno on TV.
Sorry,
God, what was it? He was on like some show. I forget what it was, but I've known I've seen him on TV, but he's a little person and he looked like Jay Leno and he would usually be brought out on TV to mock Jay Leno.
Little Jay Leno
I forget
was used
what,
on Conan.
There we go. He was on Conan. Yeah. So I don't, because that would be disrespectful to little Jay Leno.
I had
a little bit of a faux pas.
I'm sorry that I interrupted your very, very valid point, because I thought you referred to all cars as little Jay Leno's. I got so excited.
It is exciting. It's real exciting. It's very... I think that he is extremely aware, and whether or not it's, you know, accurate or what, I know it's at least gone through his head that the idea of people like Bobcat and people are uncomfortable around me because he's a little weird.
You think people are uncomfortable around him?
Yes.
Okay, but do you think that he knows that they're uncomfortable around him because he's himself or because he's super famous? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think it's hard to say because he's not always been famous, but he's always been himself. So I don't know what he noticed before he got famous, but
I think you could notice what he noticed before he was famous, because it's in his entire act.
Yeah. So I think he's somewhat aware I think that people probably are uncomfortable around him. I think he's probably socially very strange. I mean, dating a teen is probably a sign that, like, oh, socially maybe you're a little bit weird, you know?
By the way, it's not wrong to date a teen if you're, like, 21 and they're 19. That's fine.
Yeah, that's not what this is. Yeah.
He was 39 and she was 17.
Yeah.
And he was on the biggest sitcom in the world.
Yeah, that's a different thing entirely.
That's a weird power dynamic thing.
Oh, for sure. But that's what I'm saying about being socially weird, where it's like, you can't, like, find someone who is on your level. You know what I mean? You can't communicate with someone in a similar position as yourself. And so you go down and get a teen.
Which go, is, down and get a, go to the teen store and get a teen.
Yeah. You go down to
high
the,
school,
you know? Yeah. Like that seems like it's a relationship designed to, designed around tricking somebody. It's weird. It's a weird move.
I'm glad that we've talked about this. I feel like I've learned nothing, except I completely forgot about little Jay Leno, and now I remember little Jay Leno.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
You should get little Jay Leno on the show.
I can't.
You should interview him. He would love to just have a real shit talk session.
Who do you think little Jay Leno's Bobcat is? If he's Seinfeld, who's his Bobcat?
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, it's.
Is it Big Jay Leno?
It's no. I was gonna say little David Letterman. It has to be little David Letterman.